So when we work towards something, if it doesn't work out, as long as we're moving forward toward that goal, something else will always come along.
Comes in and
be better.
You're listening to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the number one resource for active duty veterans and their families who want to learn how to build real wealth through real estate investing. Each week, we sit down with top military real estate investors, industry experts, and leaders who share their secrets to success in the real estate game. Now, get off your ass, get motivated, and take action to make your financial freedom dreams a reality.
Before we get started with today's show, I have to let my faithful ADPI podcast family in on a little secret. For the past year, we've been hard at work trying to consolidate all of our Epic resources into one community-based platform to damn near guarantee our member success. I'm proud to announce the launch of ADPI Campus, our off-Facebook, all-in-one platform dedicated to helping the military community own more of the land they swore to protect and defend. From networking to live workshops to courses, masterminds, cohorts, and even one-on-one coaching, ADPI Campus is the community for military real estate investors worldwide. Sign up for your free trial of ADPI Campus at www.adpicampus.com, where you'll get complete access to our brand new bootcamp mini course and our exclusive deal room where you can list, connect, buy, and sell deals alongside other military real estate investors. That's www.adpicampus.com to sign up now for free. Do it now before it's too late. Now, let's start the show. Hey, welcome everyone to another episode of the Active Duty Passive Income. My name is Kevin Brenner, and I will be your host for the next 45 minutes of this show. And we have another, like usual, we have special guests. This time we have special guests, plural, who are joining us to talk about their real estate, their incredible rise to real estate superstardom, potentially. By the time this episode airs, they might have 30 units in under a year. 30 units in under a year. We have Amanda and Solomon Nair here. They're both joining us. And their story is so incredible. I don't even want to spoil it any more than I already have. So Amanda and Solomon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is really incredible. And I really want to jump right into it. We're going to talk in this episode, for those who are listening, this episode is really going to be focused on getting started, but getting started facing challenges, because Amanda and Solomon faced an incredible challenge just by the sheer size of their family, but they didn't let that stop them from getting started. So if you're thinking that you can't house hack because you have a family or this or that, you're going to want to listen to this episode because it's going to give you a whole new perspective on how you can get it done and really how you can thrive. And it's just incredible. So guys, if you wouldn't mind, would you share your military background with us and then just how you got started into real estate?
Sure. Do you want me to go?
You can do the military stuff.
Sure. So I actually Army and Navy background. I enlisted in the Army back in 2008 as a medical laboratory technician, and we weren't married yet. I had gone through school, and things were great. I kind of just joined the Army out of necessity. I had no way to pay for college. And so my former spouse at the time said, hey, you should look at maybe joining one of the services. So I went in to the recruiter's office, joined the Army, did the medical laboratory technician thing for around 5 years, got divorced early on in that process. And after I finished school, I was stationed in Hawaii, and that's kind of where we met. And when we met, I had a good job. I knew that it was a job that would pay a decent sum on the outside, but her dad was a dentist. And that was really intimidating for me because I knew, okay, dentists make really good money and I'm not there. And so I didn't want my wife's standard of living to drop when we got married. So I had to find something different. And so he convinced her dad, just talking to him, I said, you know what, it's probably good. Let me try and become a dentist. But I had all these military benefits and I didn't want to give those up. So I was like, I want to stay in. I don't want to get out. So I just did the studying. I got my associate, my bachelor's. And I took the dental exam and got in while I was in E5, and I was kind of like blown away I got in. Especially
because all of your schooling you did online.
Yeah, I did most of it online. Yeah,
I love how you just brushed over this. You're like, yeah, you know, it's whatever. I did my associate's, my bachelor's degree, got into dental school all online. It was no big deal.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, it's a lot, but I mean, we were really busy at the time, I think. But once I got into dental school, I inter-service transferred to the Navy because their commissioning program would actually let me stay on active duty. So I went to dental school, had it all paid for, got paid to go to dental school, and I just had to put on a blue uniform.
And promoted.
Yeah, and I promoted from that too. So it was nice. So we were in a really, really good position. But even though I had all the schooling and such paid for, we really didn't know anything about investing. I mean, I had TSP that I was contributing to, but that wasn't really in my mind. How to create? Well, I hadn't really taken any time to study. It was all, you know, studying to become a dentist. And so it wasn't until I finished dental school and I started working in California, we had, you know, been stationed a couple places since that time, that I really took a good look. I think we had to kind of change things, I guess.
I think it was... So how I heard about the Active Duty Passive Income Group is through Jill Campbell. She's one of our friends. And she
in
had
California.
Made a... Yeah, in California. And so they just moved. But she had made a post on Facebook and it just stood out to me. It was just like, hey, I feel like that's something that we could do, you know? And so I reached out. I was like, hey, what's this information? Why don't you come over for dinner? So their family came over for dinner and her husband kind of explained what active duty passive income does to help military families with investing. And so I'm the one that initially just kind of like, oh, this is really cool. Start gathering all the information, trying to explain it to him, what it is, like what it's about.
I wasn't extremely interested at the time.
Yeah. You're like really focused.
Just like, oh, at the time, we're already making, we're doing fine, you know?
Yeah. At the time
as a dentist.
Was,
yeah.
You're a dentist. At this time. And you're still active duty.
Yeah. I'm still active duty.
Got it.
And then he had also just started a DJ business that was thriving. Like, so he was dentist by day, DJ by night.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm making money.
Happy.
We're fine, you know.
Now, did you ever combine those two? You're doing dental work, you're spinning on the side.
Uplighting.
I did, actually.
Uplighting.
We did military
like that
events.
Light, that light they put over your head that shines into
the
it. It's like a disco ball. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I did some events for... work for the command where I was out in California, and they kept asking me, you know, hey, we have a service member that can DJ, and oh, this is Lieutenant Nair, yeah, let's bring him on. So I did several things out there. So I wasn't really thinking of investing until COVID hit. And
I think the Campbells came over,
I think it was
right before.
It was like right
it was January or something. So they came over, and so we started thinking about it. We had started looking in an area that we used to live that we knew would probably be a great place to start investing. Yeah. And then COVID hit, and then it just, he didn't go to work for several months.
I didn't work. I mean, it was still getting paid.
Because you're a dentist. Mm-hmm. And you're right.
Yeah. So still, I mean, I was fortunate enough to be in the military and I still had income. Her dad, I remember, like, he...
And all kinds of friends that were dentists.
Yeah, like, all kinds of friends that were dentists. It was, like, off, okay? So, your means of income is turned off. And for me, that was, like, oh, my gosh. Like, it just like that. Like, your only source of income is off. And it's like, I don't know, something clicked in my brain. It's like, no, we have to have some kind of... a fallback other than just, you know, retiring from the military. We don't know what can happen. So the first book we actually started with was The Military House Hacking Guide. That was my first exposure to investing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
and then the Rich Dad, Poor Dad,
of course, that kind of led us down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Just kind of started reading more and more and more. Like, we had all those weeks of just being cooped up in our home. So kids watching movies, we're reading books, you know? And so it kind of helped catapult us into really wanting to do it. Yeah. And then we found a package deal in an area that we're considering, where it was, a duplex, a fourplex, and a single family home all being sold
And this is in really California. Great
price. No, this is in Illinois.
Yeah, this is in Illinois.
So you had since moved from California to so
no,
you,
we were
you
actually guys, still in California.
Yeah, we were still in California.
Oh,
but
I
we
see.
Had,
okay.
But we used to live in Illinois. And so a lot of our friends and a lot of our contacts and resources were still in Illinois. So we were in California, but looking in Illinois. So that's where we found this package deal. We were able to find a great realtor, great lenders, contractors. You know, we had all of that kind of in place in this area. So that's, I think, why we picked this area specifically, is we had a life there for several years and had connections. So we moved forward with this package deal. It was just kind of going back and forth. Okay, do we want all three buildings? Do we just want two? Like, what, you know, out of this package deal, what can we afford? What's going to work?
It took us a long time to pull the trigger, because I think it was that analysis paralysis of just, we had already gone over numbers like 20 different times, and we were so close. And then we would kind of get cold feet a little bit, and we're like, okay, let's wait. And then let's try when we rework it again.
And it was also during COVID. And so we couldn't travel to see the units. He had travel restrictions. So, I was able to fly out and see the units. And so, just seeing the units in person definitely helped. But actually before that is when we moved here. Like this whole process, because it was an off-market deal. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't this rush. But in the meantime, his orders got switched to Great Lakes. We're like, oh, well, that's really convenient, because we're trying to invest in Illinois.
A couple hours from where the properties are. So.
And so during that process of trying to get this package deal, we decided to house hack. And so I honestly don't remember if it was your idea or my idea. It was probably more so your idea.
I think just reading the book, I was like, you know what? We have to do this house hacking thing. Like, this just sounds, it just sounds like a no-brainer. You know, if you can use your VA loan and, you live in one unit and the others get rented, and that's income there. But the issue for us is, by this time we had five children. And so when we looked in around the Chicagoland area, I mean, there were no houses that were kind of the size that would typically fit a family of our size.
Yeah, because we had kind of a list. Okay, if we're going to do this, we got to be smart. We need a safe neighborhood. All our children are boys. They're runners. And so
you have a full basketball team.
Yeah.
We have a full basketball team.
And so one of our requirements was a fenced in yard. So we needed a yard and it needed to be fenced in. We did have a requirement of two bathrooms, which, funny, we didn't get that.
No, at first that was like, okay, we have to have two bathrooms.
It has to have. So anyways, we found a really good fourplex that was going to be an awesome deal. The seller backed out mid-contract. And so we really bummed, panicked. But the day that he had terminated the contract, we found another duplex that came on the market that day. And so we had our realtor hurry and go check that out, because we were getting ready to move across the country. And we needed something secured.
Something to live in, you know.
So she went over, took a look. She just did a Zoom call, walked through. Hey, that's going to work. It has the yard. The yard was actually huge.
Huge yard.
We have a huge yard. So that's a plus. Unfinished basement. So toy room, storage. Mm-hmm. And then it did have the one bathroom. But, some of our kids were in diapers. So we're like, we can make this work.
Right.
So we downsized in California. We were in a neighborhood where there's someone that took a lot of donations to orphanages in Mexico. And so we just kind of gave her a lot of
stuff. Giving away stuff.
She was able to haul it off for us.
We
simplified. Yeah, we moved in and the boys were just so excited. And for the most part, it's been fun. We enjoy it. we started homeschooling before we moved. And so that's been nice because I can kind of hear where everyone's at all the time. Hey, it doesn't sound like you're doing math.
I love how you guys are dressing up, living in a two-bedroom, one-bath with five children. You're like, yeah, I can hear where everyone is, you know.
We know where people are.
So there's pros, but like that's also the greatest con too, is like I always hear them.
Where are you guys recording from right now? That's what I want to know.
Our kids are with a friend.
So okay.
We just got them out of the house. So we had zero interruptions. But yeah, the one bathroom has actually worked out better than we thought it would. You know, a few times where they're fighting over the bathroom or someone's taking a long time.
Maybe, but
one time our youngest flushed a toy down the toilet, and so we were down to zero toilets for a few hours.
That is an emergent situation.
God.
But we made it. We got it out. And
I'm sure it was his brother's toy. Take this.
Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, for the most part, it has actually been fun, you know, just the unity, the playing, the creativity, the simplification.
I think one of the most important things too, as far as our journey to Phi is concerned, is with house hacking and my, you know, relatively high income. I mean, that has allowed us to put away so much and put toward our other investments. So because of the house hack, we started this house hack in September of last year. Since then we've acquired, we've got 14 doors. We have this house hack. We have another duplex, two single family homes and two fourplexes. And we're able to get that in a short amount of time, because we've kept our living expenses so low. And so we just kind of recognize, yes, we're in tighter spaces than we normally would be, but this is temporary. And this is really taking us off further than, you know, if we had done something different, if we had just, you know, gone for comfort and gone into the single family home, we'd have less to invest. Mm-hmm. And so that's really allowed us to be a little bit more aggressive than we would normally be. So, I mean, for a while, I mean, it was like every other month we're doing a deal. We're getting another property.
And are these all in the Illinois area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are down near St. Louis, just kind of outside greater St. Louis area. You know, everybody says the market is, you know, hot. There's no deals, but I kid you not, we just purchased a fourplex with a tenant already in place that'll need some renovation work for $50,000. So there are deals out there, and we just did this. This was last month. We kind of look and we say, okay, this makes sense. And because we know people in the area and we have a lot of friends there, we can jump on things fast.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the key for us.
Yeah, even with the market the way it's been, we've never had been involved in a bidding war. Mm-hmm. Or never had to overpay for anything. And so it's just you know the area and you know, you have connections and we always kind of tried to have my mind's blank, but just a lender on our side, just like a pre-approval letter. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as one was done, then like, okay, let's get another pre-approval letter. So that way,
keep it in the arsenal.
So as soon as we find a deal, then we can
go within hours. I think for that fourplex that we bought just last month, we had the pre-approval already ready. I called the realtor as soon as it came on Zillow. Actually, I saw it. We both saw it. Actually, it was like 11 at night. We text the realtor, and because we had such a good relationship with her, she's like, I'm on it. I'll be there first thing tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, that house was on and off the market in, you know, probably 8 hours, you know, 10 hours or something. So that's worked to help us.
Yeah. You guys have touched on a lot here that I kind of want to dig into. But before that, you know, you mentioned, oh, well, you know, people say the market's really hot and all this stuff. I get the idea that you guys have a very specific criteria when you are looking for deals. Can you talk about that criteria, how you developed that criteria, and how that has helped you avoid a lot of the noise that's out there on the market, off the market, all of that stuff?
Sure. So when we were analyzing numbers and the criteria we set, we wanted it to be in a location that we knew, and that was kind of down in the St. Louis area because I went to dental school there. We also kind of look in the 100,000 range and less. And so there are smaller communities down there that, you know, as far as your 1% and 2% rule, we have a lot of properties that are actually in the 2%, you know, mm-hmm. range, but they rent well, and we renovate them. And so we kind of have a nicer option. You know, we've got more updated appliances and things for, you know, locations where you might not necessarily see that. And so we can keep occupancy high, and we can provide a service. So yeah, that's one of the things I think that's kind of allowed us to move aggressively is just the purchase price. You know, we wouldn't necessarily be able to buy the same amount if we invested up, you know, where we live or up where we have family in Utah, because we had looked there and we looked in California and in different places. We had almost bought a duplex in California at one point, but when we ran the numbers, we said, hey, this really doesn't fit in with our goal. We're kind of just looking for cash flow. And so we moved our investments down to Illinois and kind of around St. Louis. And we said, hey, this works. This the cash flow numbers work here really, really well. So we'll go after more volume than appreciation.
Yeah, no, and that's a smart play, because we, you know, at ADPI and, you know, in Operation Atom, the Action Takers Only Mastermind that I coach, I always say, make sure you're investing for cash flow. Appreciation, that may or may not happen. And if it happens, great, fantastic. That is icing on the cake, but you got to invest for cash flow. Don't depend on the appreciation to make or break a deal, because it's just not as predictable. And you're really setting yourself up for failure if you align and kind of go down that road. I love that answer, guys, because that's a big thing, talking about criteria and people, you know, getting started. You know, what I'm hearing from both of you, Amanda and Solomon, is the sacrifice that you've made. I think you have made a sacrifice by downsizing that 99% of the people listening to this podcast would never do. But it's obviously paid off in spades for you guys, as it's helped you. And would you be willing to talk about numbers on this first duplex and kind of dig in and say, like, you know, cash flow and stuff like that, or breaking even, or kind of, you touched on the fact that, you know, did it just cover your housing costs and then you were able to just not like live, you're living rent free, mortgage free? Is that how it went down?
Not quite.
Pretty close.
Yeah, though. we were pretty close. Yeah. So we end up purchasing the duplex we live in for $240,000.
Around there.
Yeah, it was about, I think it was $243,000 or something like that. But the tenant, she has been in place. She'd been living there for like 10 or 11 years before we got there. The place was immaculate. She's got flowers in the back. She came highly recommended by the previous landlord. They said, "Jay, she's been here for years." So the rent was $950, which was below what, you know, the market or the comparables. But she was such an awesome tenant. We just said, "Hey, just keep doing what you're doing." Mm-hmm. You know, $950, go for it. And so we moved into the other side. Our mortgage was around $1,600, and so BAH though was way higher than that. So I think BAH was like $2,700 or $2,800 or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. But so even though it wasn't like the grand slam, I mean, it was still a solid hit because we reduced our expenses by a huge amount, and we got to take some of that BAH and move it toward other things.
You're pocketing almost $1,800 a month of your BAH. And you're able to put that, I mean, that's a significant amount of money. That's almost $24,000 a year, guys, that you're able to go and move and use in other projects. So is the joy of the house hack. Oh, sorry, Amanda.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, I think like for a while there, all of our properties were covered with his BAH.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so even if there wasn't a tenant in place, we weren't out any money. Like his BAH could cover that. And so that's because we are living simply, you know, just with this house hack.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. So one of the things that we kind of notice is when, if you have medical professionals or any professionals that, you know, go to dental school or medical school or whatever, you have doctors, you know, physicians, one of the first things that happens is because you make kind of a sacrifice to do that. You're like, hey, I've earned this mm-hmm. new car, or I've earned this big house, and they go and do that. We just decided we were going to do the opposite. It's like, okay, now that we are making the income, you know, I've been in the service now for going on 14 years. We just said, you know what, let's downsize. Let's do the complete opposite. And so that helps us. We live, in a small location. The income was higher. And then our properties that we purchase are $100,000 and under, typically. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of a lot that has allowed us to scale quickly. Because when we say to people, oh, we have 14 units that we got, you know, in, you know, just a few months, the eyes go wide because they're probably thinking, oh, we're paying, you know, $300,000 and $400,000 for the right. the houses. And we're adding value as we go, because, you know, of we can put away so much.
And down the road, these are going to pay dividends for you, you know, and that's the really exciting part. Hey guys, Kevin here, and I wanted to interrupt this week's podcast episode with just kind of a public service announcement. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have this thing called the cohort, and we have one for commercial real estate and one for residential real estate. But the cohorts have been a smashing success as we launched them in 2023, and moving into 2024, we literally have like a wait list going right now. But if you're interested in learning how to do real estate investing alongside other like-minded, super focused people in the military community, like in our community, then you're going to want to sign up for the cohort. And the way we have it set up and that we're moving this direction with a residential cohort and a commercial cohort is the residential is going to focus on everything 1 to 4 units, whether that's buy and hold or BRRRR or short-term rentals and Airbnbs or like all of that stuff is in the residential side. And then your commercial real estate one, which is super powerful, is going to be focused on those large commercial 7-figure apartment buildings, mobile home parks, RV parks, things like that you thought you could never get involved in. But now with our brand new education on ADPI campus, which you guys know about, and combine that with our cohort and our coaches and everything coming together, it's becoming a very, very, very powerful tool. So if you're interested in getting involved with this, what you need to do is go into ADPI Campus, log into ADPI Campus, and if you don't have it, again, go to www.adpicampus.com, sign up for free. Go in there and check out the events and just make comments. Go in and make a comment and say like, hey, when's the next cohort starting? And we'll get you hooked up. It's that simple. And we'll get you on the wait list and where you need to be. So again, if you guys are interested in taking your real estate game to the next level, seriously consider joining one of ADPI's highly coveted and exclusive cohorts, either for residential or commercial. They're all awesome, and people are getting fantastic results. So hope to see you in one of those cohorts. And until then, we shall get back to the show. One thing I want to touch on is kind of working as a team, working with a spouse, because a lot of our listeners, one side might be really, really excited about real estate. They're listening to this podcast and they're like, yeah, let's do it. But then there's always that, you know, if you're married, there's a constant give and take, right? And there's always that, okay, well, now I have to kind of bring my spouse on board. And the fact of the matter is that in this type of investing, just real estate in general, there's a lot of people are scared. You know, they're scared to get started. There's that fear about it. People think of 2008 and you're going to lose your shirt and all of this stuff. And all the objections come out. Why would you do this? And sometimes it drives a divide in the family and causes people to either delay getting started or not getting started at all. So I'd love to talk about, and you touched on it a bit earlier, but how the both of you were able to kind of work together. Cause now you have this kind of dream team where you're both in it 100% and you're creating and building these assets for your family.
Yeah. Well, first off, I do have to admit at times, it is hard and it's a sacrifice. There's times I see my other, like my friends' homes and they're beautiful and they have, you know, and so it is hard to not feel jealous or kind of bummed about. I don't know. But we do a really good job of just reminding each other it's temporary. And even our boys are like, oh, we just went to so-and-so's house and they have a big playroom and this and that. And he has his own room. And so we just remind the boys, like, while you're young, like, this, it works out great. You know, they get to form friendships. So, yeah, as far as staying on the same page and working as a team, yeah, just reminding each other about our ultimate goal. It just anytime anyone loses that, just like, hey, you know, one day we will have a bigger house. One day, you know, we will be able to do this. But just for a few years while everything's, you know, while the kids are young and while we're getting started, it's working out great. And the numbers, you know, it helps to see the numbers, you know, look, you know, reviewing everything. Oh, yeah, like this is where we are versus where we would have been had we have gone this other route. One of my favorite books I'll talk about, I guess I can talk about it now or at the end, but one of my favorite authors is Carol Tuttle. She has an energy profiling system where it's kind of like these personality things. And so just understanding more about who I am and understanding more about Solomon and who he is has helped us work better as a team. Like, we focus on our strengths. So me, I'm more about connections and staying in touch with people. And then he's more about consistency and like go getter. And so with these deals, you know, like, oh, I have this friend and, you know, I can get the connections and link up with different contractors or realtors. And then he's the one that can like kind of plow through and get stuff done. And so, yeah, I think just knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses and going off of that has definitely helped us as well.
Yeah. I think, I like what you said about just being recognizing, okay, what is the end goal? You know, we all want the, or most of us want the freedom that, you know, financial independence brings, or, hey, if I want to go somewhere, if we want to go do this, you know, we can, we're not tethered to something. And so our aim right now is, yeah, I'm going to retire from the military. So we're looking at that benchmark, but what do we want that benchmark to look like? You know, do we want it to be where I retire and then I have to go into another job because we don't have enough to cover our expenses? Or can we retire and everything that we, you know, get from the pension is, can be funneled toward investments because we don't have to work because we, you know, just for a few years, you know, put things together. Like my wife said, too, is she's super good at the connections part. Like she finds deals and she finds great things just based off of talking with people. And just, you know, that's what got us started in the beginning when I wasn't really even interested. But because of the military background, one thing I can do is I can be consistent. You know, it took consistency to finish all the degrees and get into dental school and, you know, do the Army thing, do the Navy thing. And so that's helped, you know, with the accounting, like, okay, I know exactly how much each property is cash flowing. We know exactly, okay, how much the purchase price, how much risk can we take? Okay, this is the plan. This is, you know, what we need to do. And then we can execute it. And so she fills in those gaps that I can't. And I'm, you know, fills in those gaps. I fill in the other gaps too. And it just works really well. You know, it's like kind of like that yin and yang thing. So
yeah, we're opposites. In but it works.
Yeah, that's awesome. My wife and I are the same. We're like completely opposite, but the you know, we attract and we, you know, we work together and help each other accomplish our individual goals, and that's kind of our team goal as a couple, you know. But guys, this has been super, super interesting and amazing, and I will tell you that if you continue the pace that you're at, almost, you know, if this next deal closes for you, almost 30 units under a year, by the time Solomon retires in 6 years, you won't have to do dentist stuff unless you want to. You can be, you know, the DJ dentist working one shift a week.
Yeah, we'll go all in on the DJing thing. Who knows?
Go all in on the DJ. Yeah, do what makes you happy. But that's, you know, that's the stuff that is really, really cool and very powerful. So I would love to take you guys into our famous bonus round. We ask the same four questions to every single guest to get their perspective and to help our listeners get started in real estate. So without further ado, question number one, and I guess since there's two of y'all, you can either take it individually or you can both answer. There's no real rules. Question number one, what book or software has really been helping you crush it lately?
Do you want to go first? Ladies first.
Oh, like I mentioned, just Carol Tuttle's books. She had, like, It's Just My Nature, The Child Whisperer, just helping you understand just different personality types. So as a mom or as a wife or business partner or just in connecting with other people, just understanding where they're coming from and just, yeah, I don't know. I just really enjoy that. Like, I really enjoy self-help books of just how to connect with people, how to become a better person. And so that's what I would say.
I actually have three that have really been helping me. I first started the Military House Hacking Guide course, and then Think and Grow Rich. It's an older book, but Napoleon Hill. I love that mindset of, you know, with this deal coming up, the 16 units, we already have it in my mindset. I'm just filling in the cracks. Like we've already won that. You know, okay, so we will close on these. We'll come under contract and it'll work.
Sorry, real quick. And even if we don't, one thing that we've noticed is when we work towards something and it doesn't work out, something better comes in.
Yeah. You know?
Because we had started with another deal, but that fell through. But then this one
literally just, it was demolished.
Yeah.
It literally fell through.
It literally fell through. So we're moving into
which, this one. You know, and it was good for us that it needed to be demolished. So, anyways, yeah. So when we work towards something, if it doesn't work out, as long as we're moving forward toward that goal, something else will always come along.
Comes in and
be better.
Yeah. And then cash flow quadrant was my last one. Robert Kiyosaki liked that stuff. So
yeah. No, so guys, we're gonna have links to Carol Tuttle's books, we're gonna have links to Cash Flow Quadrant and Think and Grow Rich, because that's one of our more popular books. And of course, if you want the Military House Hacking book, it's totally free. Just go to our website, activedutypassiveincome.com, and download the free book. It has obviously been a major influence on Solomon, Amanda, and literally thousands of other people. So definitely get that if you haven't read it already. It's a super easy read, and it's tailored right to you. And guys, guess what? We're rewriting it. Little secret.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
We're doing a full rewrite, and we're putting more stories in there. We're putting more perspective in there, and that's kind of a little top secret project that we're working on. But I guess I spilled the beans. Oops. question number two, y'all. Who is your biggest hero and why?
Ladies first again.
You can go first this time.
My parents, just the sacrifices and things they've made. They've laid all the brickwork, the hard work that, and all the discipline, that they've instilled in me to push for things, you know, it just hands down.
Yeah. His parents are pretty awesome. My parents are pretty awesome too. So I want to give a shout out to them. My biggest hero is probably Solomon though. Like it just, make him feel guilty.
Got you.
No.
The correct answer, Solomon, for that was your
wife. My wife is my...
So someone's going to be in trouble now. No,
no, I don't mind at all. His parents are awesome. If they weren't, then maybe I'd feel offended.
You're just like, oh, your parents suck. No.
No, but I just, Solomon, just how hard he works and just, he's a family guy. He's a good husband, you know, good father. He works hard at whatever he does. And so I really admire that about him. Just the strengths that he brings to our family. So, yeah.
Incredible. I love it. Question number three, a little lighter. What do y'all like to do for fun? You and the basketball team.
Yeah. I feel like I've lost a lot of what I enjoy just because I'm always with the kids. I used to enjoy volleyball, and I'm a hula dancer, and so wow. I enjoy teaching hula.
Amazing at it.
So yeah, right now my biggest focus is kind of like I'd mentioned before, is that I've been homeschooling, and so that's been a lot of fun, just working with the boys one-on-one, and we're more about life skills, and so like teaching them how to create budgets, how to shop, do their own laundry, which is helpful because I'm actually pregnant with twins now, and so In a few months, we're about to have seven.
Seven.
Oh, my seven goodness. Kids. You are one away from a TLC show.
Hopefully, this is free publicity.
And, it, and it's funny.
Yeah, there you go. Discovery Channel TLC, are you listening?
It's funny because everyone's like, oh, now you guys got to move. And at one point, we're like, oh, we have to move. We have to move. Yeah. But then we're like, do we really, though? Like, we actually kind of enjoy it here. And we do want a house hack probably one more time while we're stationed here, but we honestly don't feel rushed. And who knows, maybe the twins will come and we'll be like, oh my gosh, we definitely need a bigger place. But
it's working.
And so we'll stay here as long as it's working. And then when it's not, you know, we'll move on to a bigger house hack. Because that's our goal, is one more house hack. So if we could maybe find a place with maybe one extra room and bathroom.
One extra bathroom would be nice.
Extra bathroom would be nice.
Having to, having to budget bathroom time is.
Well, you got to schedule now. Everyone's got Google calendars. Oh, my time. I got 5 minutes go.
Even though my kids are drive me crazy and they're the most exhausting, like, I really enjoy being with them and just learning from them and teaching them. That's what I enjoy.
That's got to be my thing too. I love going on dates with my best friend who is here, my wife, and
that was the correct answer again.
The correct answer again. And you know, spending time with our boys, I mean it's just so fun. Love being a dad. And I also just kind of recently discovered the power of a drone. I love flying my drone. It's like being on vacation for me. So that is one of my guilty pleasures, I guess, flying my drone.
It's so random. He's like,
I'm going to go fly my drone. I got to get out of here. That's incredible, y'all. And it's important, you know, to have some hobbies. Because remember, you know, it's, what are we doing this for? We're doing this for financial independence, to free up our time to do the things that we love. So if you're listening right now and you're hustling day in and day out, make sure that you're literally, like, I schedule time for myself. Like, it's in my calendar, and it's just like, do not work. Like, just like, do what, like, the reason that you work so hard is so you can do this stuff. And my wife and I think when this episode releases, we'll be in Cancun. So, you know, doing a little first anniversary trip for us. So that'll be a lot of fun. Awesome. All right, y'all. So question number four, the big one. We can take this, you can each, you know, kind of answer, or you can answer in tandem. It doesn't really matter. What are three nuggets of wisdom that you would like to share with a beginner real estate investor who's listening to this? Maybe someone who's got a family and they're considering house hacking. What would those three nuggets look like?
I know I had kind of talked about this earlier, at least before the episode, is just one of the things that we've worked on together is budgeting, is just knowing exactly where all our money is going.
You really can't get ahead unless you have that tightened down. We, for years, I mean, she was the budgeter, and I mean, we would sit down and I'd be like, okay, after 20 minutes, I'm done.
It wasn't even that much. It'd be like 5 minutes. Okay, that's good. I'm done.
I'm going to go do something else.
I
gotta go fly my drone or something. But I mean, when we were just looking at everything, saying, okay, we really can't get ahead if we don't know how far we started behind. You know, we have to have a vantage point. And if that vantage point is always moving, okay, my personal expenses, oh, this month we're spending $600. Oh, this month we're spending $1,000. You know, if you don't have that nailed down, and if you aren't on the same page, then FI is going to be really, really, really hard to achieve. So that was the first thing we did, is we just sat and tracked everything.
We have a bank account where we have five separate accounts, one for groceries, one for supplies, one for the children, one for gas, and then one for fun. And so each one has a set amount. There's no overdraft. Like once it's out, unless we use the fun money, but no one wants to do that. So it helps us, you know, save. And then anything extra, we just move over into that fun account at the end of the month. And so we're trying to get that fun account to grow, but then also there's the funds that we have each month to use. So that's been very helpful for us, just to know exactly where those main things are going and coming. So that's one of our nuggets.
Do you guys use a software like you know, you need a budget or Mint or something like that?
We do use Mint, but we also just kind of created our own spreadsheet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So anytime we go to a grocery store, we just write it down. Excel. We found that to be best because sometimes, I don't know, whatever we've been doing in the past hasn't really been working. But if we just have a sheet on our desk that just, okay, I went to the gas station, bought this much, we just subtract it. And we just have a running total, like, okay, this is how much we have for the rest of the month.
It's out. And we keep each other accountable. You know, if I spend something, even if it's like $5, so I went to the gas station and I picked up a Reese's peanut butter cup, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, what'd you spend today? Oh, I spent this. Oh, what'd you spend? Okay. And then we write it in the spreadsheet and then, you know, it makes it way easier.
That's a great tip, y'all. Because my wife and I, we use Mint, and we go at the end of the month like clockwork. We're sitting down together, we're looking at it all, and it's amazing what you find out. It's amazing what you find out when you're not tracking how much money we're actually kind of wasting. I don't know, mm-hmm. just on silly stuff like coffee shops and like going out, and especially if you're in a big city. We're in DC. I mean, you guys are in Chicago. We're outside of Chicago, so you understand. But things are so expensive, like restaurants. Go out to dinner and it's like $200 and you're like, what did I just do? Like, I could have made dinner at home for like $9 and it was probably better.
Yeah. Well, we used to pride ourselves on not doing big things. Oh, we haven't got a big car, or we didn't do Disneyland, or, you know, but then like all these small things that we did, we realized were adding up. We're like, mm-hmm. we need to tighten that up.
In the book, I just wrote a book that we put on Amazon. I talk about that concept. It's like, sometimes we can feel frugal because we're not like making huge purchases. Oh, I didn't go out and get an Xbox today or buy a new car. But I like to say a bleed of funds will kick your buns, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're constantly bleeding funds, you know, you still kind of end up in the same spot, and only it's even more befuddling because you don't know how you got there.
Yeah. So that data is super crucial. All right, guys, I think we're on the second nugget. We kind of went off on a tangent there, but I love it. What is the second nugget of wisdom? And then we're definitely going to double back to your book at the end of this, because I want to hear more about that, Solomon.
Sure. I think the second thing is you have to keep everything in perspective. So like today before this podcast, we got a call from someone that needed to run a bunch of errands. They didn't have a car, and so it was super inconvenient because I was like, oh, it's Saturday. We want to sleep in. We want to get prepped for the podcast. But, you know, we both looked at each other, you know, man and I looked at each other, and we said, you know what, this person, they just need help for a couple hours. Let me go drive them to Walmart and go take them to a couple. They had just had a few errands to run. And we said, you know what, that's what it's about. We want to achieve financial independence so we can ultimately live the life we want and serve other people. You know, it's really not going to be much use to us if we're just kind of, you know, fluttering around. We want to be able to help others. And so, but we don't have to wait for that. We can do that now. And so the need arose this morning and we said, hey, I have time. Let's go out and let's help somebody, you know, get their groceries or get, you know, what they need in the moment. We don't have to wait to experience that abundance.
Yeah. Echo that. Is just, just service, just the mindset of giving. We're kind of having a conversation earlier too about giving, how like you don't give so you can receive, but at the same time, like that always happens, you know, just the more open you are with sharing and helping others, it always comes back in one way or another. If you're stingy, you know, that's going to come back to you too. And so one of our future or ultimate goals is just be able to live where we can just always be serving others and just be content and happy. But if we're not doing that now, it's not going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So like he was saying, just when opportunities arise now, instead of saying, oh, well, we don't have the funds, or, oh, we're not able to, we find a way now to help. So that way we're always living in an abundant and giving mindset.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. And there's a million reasons to not do something. You know, we can come up with, you know, we're really, you know, the human brain is really good at saying no. And self-preservation and all of those things. It's just in our nature. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Amanda. When the more you start giving, whether it's financially or even your time, things just come around, and your life is actually better. So that is great. I think we got a lot of nuggets out of that. There was probably like 10 nuggets in that.
a multi-nuggeted approach.
There you go. Yeah. So before we go on to how people can get in touch with you, Solomon, real quick, can you touch real briefly on your new book? I'm very curious.
Yeah, of course. The book is called The Wisdom of Solomon, not me, Solomon, but Solomon, like from the Bible. So The Wisdom of Solomon, the Soli Six. So the Soli Six are mine, but I kind of reference six principles that as I was looking through my journals, I've applied and they've helped me create abundance. A lot of times we can find answers to other people's problems from a distance, and we're really, really good at that. But we have a hard time applying principles to our own lives. And so a journal can be a really, really good teacher for you. And so I just looked at mine and said, hey, these are six principles that really have helped us take off. And hopefully they can be of help to others that are maybe looking to create not just financial abundance, but abundance in other areas of life. You know, we're multifaceted as human beings. You know, we have our spiritual health, we have our physical health, we have mental health, we have, you know, financial health and well-being. And so I felt like I needed to put some of my experiences out there and our experiences as a couple and teach principles behind things.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a short read and he has other volumes in the works already, but yeah.
So in between drone flying, you're writing.
In between drone flying.
I only can you combine those hobbies?
DJing, dentistry, drone flying. All of them.
Yeah, all of them. They're all happening at the same time, once a week when you're financially independent. It's going to be great. All right, y'all. This was an incredible episode. For our listeners out there, we're going to have that Solomon's book on the principles of Solomon and his perspective. We're going to have that in our show notes as well. We're going to have that link. So please pick up a copy of that. And this has been absolutely incredible, y'all. Where can our listeners get in touch with you?
tracthomes@gmail.com. Yep, that's one way.
Did you say track.homes?
Yes, track.homes. We also have a website together, The Nair Pair, right?
Yeah, I think it's still active.
Yeah, still active.
I'm on it right now. It's active. There it is.
You probably should have checked that before.
Yeah, if you type in The Nair Pair in Google, I think that's the first thing that comes up. We started a website just about Amanda's Hula.
It's definitely more active when COVID wasn't around because we were teaching hula and DJing.
Oh, I'm looking at the boys now. Look at them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So, if you want to contact us, we'll respond there. So,
yeah, fantastic. So, we're gonna have ways to contact Solomon and Amanda. And, I think they're just beyond, besides being incredible real estate investors and military real estate investors, but if you just want to talk to someone about maybe, house hacking and you have a big family and you want to know the details on what they went through, just reach out. I tell every one of our listeners who listen to this podcast, we bring these guests on so that people reach out to them. We want y'all to connect. We want y'all to understand it's a community, right? At Active Duty Passive Income. We want you to connect and learn from each other and grow and become excellent investors. Right? That's what we're doing it for. So thank you both, Amanda and Solomon, for the time. And this has been absolutely incredible. And I don't know. I mean, I can't wait for this one to come out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Kevin. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Another amazing episode in the books. Thanks so much to our special guest. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to tap the subscribe button now to make sure you don't miss an episode. Or head over to our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to grab all of our free resources and discover how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today.